So this morning we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 1, from the Madhya Lila. And the chapter is entitled The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And we're going to be doing text number 91. So 91 is the verse with Srila Prabhupada's purport, and that is the verse we have on the board. But I'll read the verses prior to that. So I'll read text 88, 89, and 90, and then we can do responsively text number 91. So text 88. The last 12 years of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were passed in this transcendental craziness. Thus he executed his last pastimes in three ways. Text 89. For the 24 years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order, whatever pastimes he executed were unlimited and unfathomable. Who can understand the purport of such pastimes? Text number 90. Just to indicate those pastimes, I am presenting a general survey of the chief pastimes in the form of a synopsis. Text number 91. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This is the first synopsis. After accepting the sannyas order, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded towards Vrindavan. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Clearly, these statements are a real account of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of the renounced order of life. His acceptance of this renounced order is not at all comparable to the acceptance of sannyas by Mayavadis. After accepting sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to reach Vrindavan. He was unlike the Mayavadi sannyasis who desired to merge into the existence of the Absolute. For a Vaishnav, acceptance of sannyas means getting relief from all material activities and completely devoting oneself to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-255. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatartham Upajunjataha Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. For a Vaishnav, the renounced order means completely giving up attachment for material things and engaging non-stop in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Mayavadi sannyasis, however, do not know how to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Because they have no devotional training, they think material objects to be untouchable. Brahmam, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mritya. The Mayavadis think that the world is false. But the Vaishnav sannyasis do not think like this. Vaishnavs say, why should the world be false? It is reality, and it is meant for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For a Vaishnav sannyasi, renunciation means not accepting anything for personal sense enjoyment. Devotional service means engaging everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarine Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Giri Raj Swamini Tinamane. So the verse again. This is the first synopsis. After accepting the sannyas order, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded towards Vrindavan. So this is the first chapter of the Madhya Leela. We understand that Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has broken up Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes into three parts. The Adi Leela is the first part of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. The Madhya Leela is the middle part of Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and the Antya Leela is the last part of Mahaprabhu's pastimes during the 48 years that he was present on this planet. Now, what is interesting about this first chapter of the Madhya Leela? We see that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he is talking about Mahaprabhu's. And the first chapter is entitled The Later Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. We would think the Madhya Leela wouldn't deal with the later pastimes. It would deal with the middle pastimes. But Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the first chapter is talking about the late pastimes. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that when Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami started compiling the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was very advanced in age. I heard he was well over 100 years old. So he was not sure how much of time he would have left. So he started to describe, even in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Just like we see, Srila Prabhupada, he did the same. Srila Prabhupada translated and gave the world the Krishna book very early on in the history of the ISKCON movement. And Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, one should not jump to the 10th canto. One should gradually progress to the earlier cantos, and only when one is on the liberated platform, when one is sufficiently purified, then only can one enter into the 10th canto. But the 10th canto, as is described, is the smiling face of the Lord. The first two cantos are his lotus feet. Cantos 3 and 4 is his two thighs. 5 is his beautiful lotus navel. 6 and 7 is his arms, 8 is his chest, 9 is his neck, And the tenth is his beautiful smiling face. So we have to gradually progress. But Srila Prabhupada, being in the wonderful mood of the Acharya, he was thinking to himself, will I reach the tenth canto or not? So he gave the tenth canto in the form of a Krishna book, where he summarized it, because he was not sure. And he did it in such a wonderful way that he beautifully weaved Leela with philosophy. So even if one is not sufficiently purified, if one reads the tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one cannot mistake the pastimes of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada also did the same thing with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It was one of the first books he wrote, because again he was not sure how far he would ever progress with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he summarized the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the beautiful book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the beautiful book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So here we see Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami doing the same thing. And what he says in these verses, that he's going to summarize. He's going to summarize, he's going to give a synopsis of the life of Mahaprabhu in three verses. And this is the first synopsis, as Srila Prabhupada says in the verse. And he talks about the Lord accepting the sannyas order. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded towards Vrindavan. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada focuses on one particular point. And that is the distinction between a Vaishnav sannyas, see, and a Mayavadi sannyasi. So the first point, as noted in this verse, when Mahaprabhu took the sannyas order, where did he proceed to? It says Vrindavan. We know that because Sachi Mata was thinking or saying to Mahaprabhu, she was very aggrieved when Mahaprabhu took sannyas. She was very aggrieved because her first son, Vishwarupa, he had taken sannyas. And the second son, a beautiful Nima, is also taking sannyas. So she implored him to stay in Jagannath Puri. In this way she would get news about his pastimes. But it is said that Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan and later he settled in Jagannath Puri. So the Vaishnav sannyasis, they head towards Vrindavan. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, they head towards Varanasi. And in Varanasi, the Mayavadi sannyasis, they focus on studying of Vedanta. But the Vaishnav sannyasis, as Prabhupada said here, that is not their interest. That is not their interest. The Vaishnav sannyasis, for taking sannyas means getting relief from all material activities and dedicating oneself completely in the transcendental service of the Lord. So the Mayavadi sannyasis, what does that mean? Study of Vedanta. I am Brahman. And the Vaishnav sannyasis, they go to Vrindavan to dedicate themselves to the service of the Lord. And mainly, service means chanting and hearing. Sometimes the devotees think that hearing and chanting is not so much of service. Doing other things that is service. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Jai Shishi Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. But chanting and hearing is service. Not so long ago, when I forget the Prabhu's name now, who did the memory series? Siddhanta Prabhu. Yeah, Siddhanta Prabhu came, he showed a video. And one of the videos he showed us was Banabhata Prabhu, who is a resident of Vrindavan, recounts the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. He was the manager of the Mayapur temple. And it was time for the Mayapur festival. And as the manager, he had 101 things to do. And he needed as much help as he could get. But one American disciple of Srila Prabhupada came to the festival. And every day, he would disappear into the banana plantation, and whole day he would chant Hare Krishna. And Banabhata Prabhu was getting really frustrated. So one day, when he was completely overwhelmed with service, he could take it no longer. He went storming up to Srila Prabhupada's room. And Srila Prabhupada was chanting on his beads. And then Prabhupada saw him, said, "Come in." And Prabhupada was like still chanting. And then Prabhupada says, "What's the difficulty?" He says, "Srila Prabhupada, there is so much service to do. And here is your disciple. From the morning he goes to the banana plantation, whole day he chants Hare Krishna. And there's so much of service to do. And I'm getting very, very frustrated." Then Prabhupada turned to him and he carried on chanting. He said, "Chanting is not a service." Prabhupada said, "Chanting is the best service. It's the best service." And Banabhata Prabhu says, you know, he learned a very important lesson. But that doesn't mean that we should try to follow that devotee's example. Prabhupada also said, work first, samadhi later. Because Prabhupada knew that the general mentality, probably knew the general mentality of the devotees is, if we try to chant 24 hours a day, probably after the first 2 hours, our mind will drift to so many things, other things. Therefore Prabhupada gave the devotees not 64 rounds, but 16 rounds to chant. So the Vaishnav sannyasis, and we can see this in the life of Mahaprabhu's direct disciples, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sri Sanatan, Sri Rupa, Sri Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta, Sri Jiva and Sri Gopal Bhatta. All of them, when they took sannyas, they went to Vrindavan. And when they went to Vrindavan, what did they do? They chanted, they discussed Srimad Bhagavatam, and then they wrote transcendental literature. That's what they did. Always discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. But the Mayavadi sannyasis, they can't do that. Why can't they do that? Because, I'm sorry? They're not trained in devotion. And also, they do not accept the pastimes of Lord Krishna. We know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas from a Mayavadi sannyas. What was his name? Keshava Bharati. Keshava Bharati, yeah. So when Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi, once he traveled to Varanasi, when he went to Varanasi, what was Mahaprabhu doing? He was chanting and dancing. Then the Mayavadi sannyasis, they said, "What kind of sannyas is this? He's taken sannyas in our line, but he's dancing and chanting like a sentimentalist. That is for women, children, and the lower class of men. But the real duty of a sannyasi is to study Vedanta. And they would laugh at Mahaprabhu and they would criticize him. And Mahaprabhu's disciples came to him and they said, "This is what they're saying about you." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he simply smiled. He simply smiled and he didn't say anything. And one day, the chief, the leader of all the sannyasis, Prakashananda Sarasvati, he was having a gathering. And 10,000 of his disciples gathered there. And he was sitting on the Vyasasan speaking to his 10,000 disciples, speaking Vedanta philosophy. And then in walks Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And very humbly, where did Mahaprabhu go and sit? He sat right at the back. The place where people wash their feet. Mahaprabhu sat there. And then he did something very magical. He displayed the effulgence of 1,000 suns. So here is Prakashananda Sarasvati sitting on the Vyasasan. And he looks at Mahaprabhu right at the back. And he sees this effulgence coming from Mahaprabhu. And he's completely mesmerized. He gets off from his Vyasasan. He walks all over to the back. He takes Mahaprabhu by the hand and he brings him right to the front and he makes him sit down. And then there is some discussion that takes place, a beautiful discussion. And we see, and then Mahaprabhu converts Prakashananda Sarasvati and his 10,000 disciples to Vaishnavism. He teaches them that this study of Vedanta is completely a misunderstanding. The perfection of sannyas is to be engaged 24 hours a day in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A very similar thing happened to Mahaprabhu when he first went to Jagannath Puri. When he saw Lord Jagannath, he fainted. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was the head of the Jagannath temple. He saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and again he was very mesmerized by this beautiful sannyas. So, but he knew and he was thinking, but he's a sannyas, why is he so sentimental? Why is he always chanting and dancing? So he met Mahaprabhu's disciples and he said, "Your master, he's a third-class sannyas. I will make him a first-class sannyas by teaching him Vedanta." So he revived Mahaprabhu by putting some cotton swabs and he took Mahaprabhu to his home and he kept him there because he was very attracted to Mahaprabhu. So one day he called Mahaprabhu with the intention of converting him from a third-class sannyas to a first-class sannyas. He said, "I'm now going to teach you Vedanta." And for 7 continuous days, he spoke Vedanta. And Mahaprabhu was completely silent, not saying one word. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking to himself, is he understanding what I'm saying? You know, normally people would ask questions, but this sannyasi is completely silent. So after 7 days, he asked Mahaprabhu, "Did you hear what I said?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Why were you silent?" And then Mahaprabhu said, "I was silent because I know Vedanta philosophy. And what you were presenting is not Vedanta philosophy. It is something else." And then Mahaprabhu spoke. There was this discussion and this debate between him and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was completely astounded. He was completely astounded that every argument that he put forward, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely smashed that argument. Completely smashed that argument. And eventually they discussed the Atmarama verse. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave so many interpretations of the Atmarama verse. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without even touching any of his interpretations, he gave 64 other meanings. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew that this Vaishnava sannyas is someone else. And at that point Mahaprabhu revealed himself as the combined form of Radha and Krishna. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered to Mahaprabhu and he became a Vaishnava. He became such a great Vaishnava that he could not tolerate any other interpretation of the Vedic literatures besides the Vaishnava interpretation. Actually, he became so extreme that there is one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I can't remember the verse, but part of the verse says, Mukti Pada. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he struck Mukti and he put Bhakti there. So Mahaprabhu saw him once, he says, "What are you doing? You can't change the scripture. You can't change the scripture." And Bhattacharya says, "No, I can't tolerate. I just can't tolerate Mukti, the word Mukti. Because for a Vaishnav, liberation is detestable." And we were studying the Nectar of Devotion course the other day, that there are five types of liberation. Dovile, you can remember? Yes, Aida.
Getting the same form as Krishna, having the same opulence as Krishna, living in the same planet, and having personal association with the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dovile was explaining that there are five types of liberation. There is sayujya, merging into the form of the Lord, salokya, living on the same planet as the Lord, sarupya, having the same form of the Lord, having the same features of the Lord, having the same opulences as the Lord. But a devotee, there's one type, a devotee may accept the other four types of liberation, but there's one type of liberation devotee completely rejects, and that is sayujya, becoming one with the Lord. Because in that type of liberation, there is no scope for the service of the Lord. And for a devotee, service to the lotus feet of Krishna is his life and soul. It is explained in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami explains, even the other four types of liberation, a devotee has no interest in. A devotee does not even desire liberation. But if the Lord does desire to give a devotee one of these other types of liberation, the devotee will accept. Because one knows that if one is situated on the platform of pure devotional service, one is engaged 24 hours a day hearing and chanting, what happens in the spiritual world? 24 hours a day, they hear and chant. Kartik Chandra Prabhu was telling us that the four Kumaras, all they do eternally is hear and chant about the glories of the Lord. First one Kumara will chant the glories and the three will listen. And then when he's finished, the next one will start chanting and the other three will listen. And this is what they do eternally. They don't eat, they don't sleep, they don't do anything else. All they do is hear and chant about Krishna. And then they feel transcendental ecstasy. So for a devotee to hear and chant about the Lord is the perfection of life. But the Mayavadis can't do that. They can't hear and chant about the Lord. Why? Because they believe the pastimes of the Lord are Maya. They believe the form of Krishna is Maya. It's material. And a sannyas should have no interest in any activities concerning Maya. In fact, it's described that these disciples of Prakashananda Sarasvati, previously, when people used to talk about the activities of the Lord, they used to laugh. When they hear about Krishna's activities with the gopis, it's a joke for them. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they take it as a joke. Can you imagine the pastimes of the Lord? They take it as a joke. And because they consider the pastimes of the Lord to be material, they can't hear. And by studying Vedanta and saying that I am Brahman, they get bored. And when they get bored, what do? They go back towards philanthropic activities. So therefore, if you study the lives of the Mayavadis, you will see at some point in time, because they have no taste for the activities of Lord Krishna, they will go back to opening schools, opening hospitals, and doing philanthropic work. So the Mayavadis, they can never be satisfied. Once Srila Prabhupada was stating to the devotees that these Mayavadis, if by some chance they manage to merge into the impersonal Brahman, they get Sayujya Mukti, they still fall down. So one disciple asked Prabhupada, why do they fall down? They merged into the impersonal, why do they fall down? And Prabhupada said, because they get lonely. The nature of the soul is full of activities. The soul is full of desires. The soul cannot be void or merging into impersonal. It can never be satisfied. Because the nature of the soul is Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. The soul is eternal servant of Krishna. And Prabhupada says service means active engagement. There has to be some activity. They cannot be latent. So the Mayavadis, because they have no information, no understanding, then they fall down. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes this very nice verse from Rupa Goswami, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yathartam Nirbanda Krishna Sambandhi Yukta Vairagya. So there's two types of Vairagya or renunciation. Srila Rupa Goswami says one is called Falgu Vairagya and the other one is Yukta Vairagya. In Bihar, there is one river called Falgu. And if you look at this river, it appears to be a dry bed of sand. But underneath, if you dig the sand, you'll see there's a river that's flowing. There's a river flowing. So the Mayavadi sannyasis, they call Falgu renunciant. Because externally, they stop all activity under the guise of studying Vedanta. But inside, there's a lot of desires taking place. But the Vaishnavs, they do not renounce. The Vaishnavs, you see everything as the property of Krishna. Prabhupada used to go to the example, give an example. He says, if you walk past the bank, say Barclays Bank, and you say, I renounce Barclays Bank, what will people think of you? Think he's a fool. He doesn't even own Barclays Bank and he's renouncing it. And if someone says Barclays Bank is my bank and he goes in and tries to take the money for himself, he's a thief. How can we renounce anything if nothing belongs to us? And Prabhupada gave the example of a note lying on the ground. And Prabhupada gives the example of a dollar note. And he says there's three types of people will respond to that dollar note differently. The first person will see the dollar note. He will see anyone looking, no one looking. Take it, put it in his pocket, and off he goes. The second type of person will see the note, and he will say, ooh, note, money. It's not mine. Money is Maya. I'm not looking at it. He turns, heads off in the other direction. The third type of person would come and sees, oh, there's a note lying there. This note must belong to somebody. Let me find out who it belongs to and then return it to the rightful owner. And Prabhupada gives this analogy. He says, the materialist is like the first person who picks up the note and puts it in their pocket, although it doesn't belong to them. This material world, nothing belongs to us. And the materialist tries to use everything for their own personal sense pleasure. The Mayavadi, the impersonalist, they do not accept that everything belongs to Krishna. So therefore they reject it. But the Vaishnav, he understands that everything belongs to Krishna. So let me see how I can use everything in Krishna's service. So that is true renunciation. That's the term Yukta Vairagya. And that is who the Vaishnava sannyasis is. Sometimes when people see the Vaishnava sannyasis, they travel on the ship. They fly in aeroplanes. They're going to the bank. They're engaged in all sorts of activities which are apparently material. And people criticize the Vaishnava sannyasis without understanding the mentality. The Vaishnava sannyasis, they are not attached to anything, but they can use everything in the service of Lord Krishna. You can use everything in the service. So therefore, the Mayavadi sannyasis, they cannot understand. Once Srila Prabhupada, he said, all my Grihastha disciples, they are sannyasis. And somebody go, Grihastha sannyasis? He said, yes. Because they use everything they have in the service of Krishna. And they are not attached to anything. So this is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And this is the meaning of what true sannyasi is. And a devotee is never afraid. He's never afraid to use anything. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, you know, he started the printing press. He was one of the first sannyasis to have a motor car. And people think, wow, motor car, a sannyasi. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught this wonderful philosophy of Yukta Vairagya. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, they are doomed to fail. They are doomed to fail. Only when they meet a pure devotee will they be able to understand. When I lived in South Africa, there was a society called the Divine Life Society there. And there was the head of the Divine Life Society. And when Srila Prabhupada went to South Africa, he was a Mayavadi sannyasi. And when Prabhupada went to South Africa, he went to meet Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said that this sannyasi, he has many, many births as a sannyas. But because he's never taken to devotional service, because he doesn't understand what is devotional service, he will continue to take birth until they meet a pure devotee. So unless these Mayavadi sannyasis, they meet a pure devotee, they get the blessings of a pure devotee, they will continue being trapped in the cycle of birth and death. So it's almost 1:15 now. I'll stop. I'll take any questions or comments anyone may have.